Hey guys, I'm Jordan Frommer. I believe in hunting hard, hunting smart, and having a fun time while doing it. And shooting limits? Well, that's just the icing on the cake. I revel in the journey just as much as the successes it brings. From ducks to dogs to decoys and guns, we'll be talking tactics, strategies, and what it takes to get the job done. Load up and take aim. This is the Duck Gun Podcast.
What's going on, folks? Thanks for joining me for another episode of the Duck Gun Podcast, the podcast where you learn to be a better duck hunter. On today's episode, we're doing a wood duck wisdom, a trivia game. And alongside me tonight, I have Hunter, the co-host of the podcast. We got Zachary Conrad, young Padawan, the MC of the trivia game. And our special guest for tonight, joining us with all his wits and wisdom, is the king of the 28 gauge. We got Matt, Hyper Sportsman. How are you doing tonight, Matt?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good.
Awesome. You said you've been out chasing snows with not the best success, unfortunately.
We did have one good hunt last weekend, a shot like I think 24, 25 that hunt. That's been my best hunt this season. But yeah, it's one or two, three bird days, and then every now and then they'll actually work perfect how you want them to.
Right. Awesome. And those are the days that, the snow goose hunters dream of. So glad you got one in. Zach, we'll pitch it off to you. Let's hear the rules of Wood Duck Wisdom again.
All right. Here are the rules. So I have a total of 10 questions. Some are going to be multiple choice. Some are short answer. Some are numerical answers. Once I read each question, every player is going to have some time to write down their response on a piece of paper. And once each player has recorded their answers, we're going to read them. You guys are going to read them aloud to the audience. And I will tell you what the correct answer is. Each correct answer that you have, or each correct question, each question you get correct, can't talk, you'll get 1 point. And at the end of the 10 questions, whoever has the most points will win. And the reward is a $50 donation to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing.
Some big stakes involved. But I don't know if you can tell, Matt, but Zach's a huge fan. So that's why he's stumbling over his words a little bit.
Getting emotional here.
Better not let that go to your head with judging this.
Right. We'll have to put an asterisk by Matt wins because Zach's kidding. No, just kidding. All right, well, Zach, take. Oh, you got something, Hunter?
Yeah, it's just I was going to point out that so far we've had two different. This is the third episode, and neither one of us have won our own show. So
I was not going to point that out.
I was going to.
We'll see how this works. I will point one thing out. Me and Matt have had two contests in the past, and I'm undefeated. So. Even bigger stakes than the 50 bucks is that I'm undefeated. Also, you've never waxed your chest, which was the punishment for the 20K race. But I'm pretty glad we didn't do any sub races after that, because let's not talk about sub counts anymore. Something happened in between there and now. So, here's your chance for revenge, Matt, to, get one back on me as far as our duos in the past.
All right.
How's your confidence tonight?
Who are you talking to?
Matt.
Sorry. Ooh, I don't know. That depends. I mean, I knew most of the questions on the Elliot episode. So I don't know. I'll give you guys a run for your money. But if it's all dog questions, that could get brutal.
Yeah. The dog questions have been tough. Honestly, there's been a little bit here and there been tough, but. You know, Hunter, we've been at least in the running every time where we've been at least one behind or tiebreakers in the finals. So at least we're not getting blown out. But yeah, we'll do our best not to have that happen tonight.
Yeah, there's always a chance it happens.
Right.
All right. Right before we get into it, I want to encourage the listeners to participate. So as we kind of go through them, go ahead and list your own answers and see how you stack up against our components here or our players here. So, all right, getting right into question number one. What color eyes do sandhill cranes have?
Hmm. Let me look at my stand.
Yeah, look at your crane. Poster that's right there behind you.
It's in black and white. It doesn't have their colors eyes on the poster.
You can't tell with the shade of gray.
Zach, your music's just a tad loud, I think. Anyone else concur with that? Okay. A little bit more reasonable. Somewhere halfway in between there, but that's not going to help me figure out the eye color.
He's just stalling so he can Google it. I can see it.
Who has had a sandhill crane in their hand? Any of us? Matt, you've had one. Okay, so if you get it wrong, you know, you weren't inspecting the bird well enough, I guess. You got to know your bird identification on the wing. So that doesn't give us any any leeway either on there, because we've seen them fly. We've seen them fly. So, I have no idea. Why isn't this one multiple choice? What the heck? Yeah.
Well, there's only so many colors.
I guess it is multiple choice if you put it that way, right? Turquoise. Sorry, that wasn't a color. Oh, man. Okay, go ahead. All right. I got mine.
Go ahead and read them out. I guess the order will go on. Let's go Matt, then Jordan, then Hunter.
I said yellow.
Yellow.
I put red.
I actually started to put the R. You can see the R and I crossed it out. But...
So we have yellow and red as the two answers.
Mm-hmm.
None of those are correct.
Is it black?
The correct answer is orange. It's a mix of the two.
Brutal.
So, how far off is, you know, yellow from orange? Because, you know,
get out of here.
You want pity points, do you?
No, I just want to know, like, I mean, isn't like orange kind of like a shade of yellow?
Isn't it kind of a shade of red?
Not nearly as similar. Some people say the sun is yellow, some people say it's orange, but nobody says the sun is red.
You get close enough.
It's true.
All right, that is 0 points across the board, despite the argument here. All right, question number two. According to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, what percentage of land in the contiguous U.S. is covered by wetlands? And there's a couple answers here, possible answers. 3%, 5%, 8%, or 12%? So your options are 3%, 5%, 8%, and 12%.
I'm trying to think.
What year was this study done? And I'm pretty sure you left out the word department in your description, but what year was this taken?
I have no idea.
Like, it's, is it recent?
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, their website.
Okay, so it's current. Got it.
Yes. However, long ago that website was updated.
Okay.
What percentage of land in the contiguous U.S. is covered by wetlands? 3%, 5%, 8%, or 12%? Go ahead and read your answers.
Read the question one more time.
According to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, what percentage of land in the contiguous U.S. is covered by wetlands?
So that doesn't include, like, that include Alaska?
No.
Okay.
Oh, contiguous.
So I'm just making sure. That's what I'm making sure.
It's the lower 48.
All right.
All right. I'm ready.
Go ahead and read them.
Matt?
I'll start.
Oh.
Okay. Matt, go ahead.
I said 8.
8.
I went with 3. I went the low ball estimate.
Once again, the answer is in between. It is 5%.
Oh, gosh.
Right in the middle.
That's actually a surprising high amount for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, think about all the ground. I mean, like, I don't even know. I wouldn't even believe if someone said 3% of the contiguous U.S. was covered by water. Like lakes and everything. I don't know.
I guess. I mean, the Great Lakes are like,
yeah, I guess,
a huge body of water. But, you know. All right. In 1903, President Roosevelt established the first federal wildlife refuge. It was Pelican Island in Florida, which included, it was at the time, it was only 3.2 acres of wetlands. Now there's more than 2.7 million acres of wetlands managed by the National Wildlife Refuge System, and 1.7 million more acres are enrolled in permanent conservation easement programs. 5% of the land mass of the lower 48 is considered wetlands, which is 110 million acres total. And the reason it's only in the first 48 is because Alaskan wetlands are uncharted and they're continuing to map them to this day. So there's still quite a bit of mystery surrounding Alaska's wetlands. All right. Question number three. What is the unique characteristic of a water dog's foot that allows them to swim more efficiently?
Dew claw.
Yeah, the thing we remove.
You know, is that part of the toes when you count duck feet?
All right. Does everybody have answers?
I do.
Go ahead and read them.
I said webbing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said webbing also.
All right. That is the first question you guys got right across the board.
The you know, you went from like a level 10 difficulty to like literally like I'm pretty sure my 6-year-old daughter knows this.
I mean, the last one was multiple choice, so for what that's worth. But anyway,
he doesn't. We have a point.
Many dog breeds who are considered to be great swimmers have webbed feet, which assist the dog in swimming more effectively. Multiple breeds of dogs have webbed feet, including Labrador Retrievers, Chesapeake Bay Retrievers, German Pointers, Otterhounds, and Irish Water Spaniels. Some dogs which are not strong swimmers, like Dash Hounds, also have webbed feet. These paddle paws help them dig in and grip much better, which is why they were originally used for badger hunting.
Mm-hmm.
So, current scoreboard. Jordan, Hunter, and Matt are all tied at 1 point. So it's
we're not
still
blown out.
Anybody's game. All right. Moving on to question number four. There are 10 U.S. states that allow the hunting of tundra swans. Name three of those 10 states.
Oh.
This is an unfair question.
Why is it unfair?
Because one of us lives in a state that possibly could hunt them.
Well, that's kind of a hint, but okay.
I said possibly.
Michigan.
Tundra swans.
Tundra swans. If we list more, can we steal it from everyone else?
If you get one wrong, the whole question's wrong.
That's
so
fine.
You can list them at your will.
Oh, man.
I know one.
I know two, and they. I know there's another. I know another one that obviously Matt knows. So, but I'm trying to remember
you
which.
You said there's five?
There's 10 total states.
Oh, there's 10 total. All right. 10. So I got like a 1 in 5 chance of guessing at least most of these, right?
Hawaii. I don't think that's it.
So, Matt, your confidence is pretty high in this then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty sure at least nowadays, it won't happen in the liberal states.
Why is that?
Because the same reason Michigan won't pass Sandhill Crane seasons or
a dove season.
Dove seasons.
Dove, yeah.
Fair.
Or New York won't do the same thing. I can't believe you can't dove hunt.
We can pigeon hunt.
Oh, great. That's exactly the same
thing. That makes
It's not.
All right.
I'm just going to have to take a crack at the third one, I think.
All right. If everybody has answers, go ahead and start reading them.
All right.
Matt, we'll start with you again.
You want to start with me?
Yep.
Okay. Utah, North Dakota, South Dakota, North Carolina, Nevada.
I was wrong then. I put North Dakota, North Carolina, and Colorado. I knew it was one of those states over by you, Matt, but I wasn't sure which one it was. So hopefully Colorado's in there.
I put North Dakota, South Dakota, and then Kansas.
All right. Matt has the only correct answer. The 10 states total are Alaska, Utah, Nevada, North Carolina, Virginia, Delaware, North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, and Idaho. You know what? Jordan, what'd you say?
Colorado.
Okay. All right. I was right.
Montana. I said Montana.
Montana. That's what I thought at first, but
now he's doubling our points, Jordan.
Montanarado.
All right. T- Tundra swans are one of the largest migratory birds in North America. They are slightly smaller than a trumpeter swan, but otherwise they look nearly identical, besides a small yellow patch that tundra swans have in front of their eye. Tundra swans migrate in flocks, but they separate and live in solitary pairs during the breeding season. Tundra swans mate for life, and they can be very hostile when guarding their nests, which I unfortunately have experienced a couple occasions while fishing from a kayak. One time I ended up in the water, so yeah
that's why
I got a little too close to a nest, I guess.
That's why kayaks suck.
Whoa.
Man,
canoes are superior
in every way.
I have a hybrid, so
kayak canoe hybrid, so it does everything worse.
I mean, everyone likes hybrids, right? You know, all over the waterfowl groups, everyone's about the hybrids.
We all love farm hybrids. Oh, wait, wrong ones.
All right, question number 5. A common nickname for late season mallards is red legs. Why do the mallards typically harvested later in the season have these red legs? And this is an ABCD question. So,
okay.
A is hormonal changes due to pairing and breeding activity. B, red-legged mallards are a subspecies of mallard that typically live further north, so they don't arrive until later in the season. C, the cold weather increases blood flow to mallards' feet, making them turn bright red. Or D, Canadians paint the mallards' legs during the maple syrup harvest.
It's gotta be D, 100%. If it's not, you have a big tick.
Oh, man. See, it's so funny because you hear, like, you know, old wise tales or myths from hunters, and I heard multiple, you know, like one, like the water's just cleaner up north. Mm-hmm. Another one I heard is just from like them flying all day, it actually cleans their feet. That's another one somebody told me when I first started hunting.
I mean, so, I've heard two of these four as being like told that that's what happens.
Can you read the questions again, Zach, or the answers again, Zach?
Yep. So A, hormonal changes due to pairing and breeding activity. B, red-legged mallards are a subspecies of mallard that typically live farther north, so they don't arrive until later in the season. C, the cold weather increases blood flow to mallards' feet, making them turn bright red. Or D, Canadians paint them during the maple syrup harvest.
Okay.
I'm ready, Rip.
I'm ready, too.
Yep.
Go ahead and read them.
A.
When in doubt, go C.
I went D. No, I'm just kidding. I went A as well.
All right. Hunter and Jordan got it correct. It is A, hormonal changes.
You said Matt.
That's me and Matt.
I'm sorry. Matt and Jordan got it correct. Trying to scam you out of a point, I guess.
Yeah.
Old-time duck hunters often call big late-season mallards red legs. It is a common misconception that the mallard's legs turn red due to cold weather. Others believe that the red legs are a separate subspecies of mallards, but in reality, the red color is a result of hormonal changes in mallards that usually happens in the late fall and winter when birds are pairing. Bright red leg color is just part of the bird's plumage as they go into breeding and courtship season. Heavier and older adult mallards typically develop their breeding plumage earlier than young birds, which is why some mallards do not have red legs during the hunting season. So typically, if you're shooting a red leg mallard, it's an bigger, older bird, which is why that misconception's born that those northern birds have it. So,
man, I almost would have called them orange, you know, more than red. Might as well call them at yellow at that point.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Is that right?
I think you got to go back to second grade, learn your colors again.
Shapes and colors.
All right, question number 6. Which North American flyway shot the greatest wood duck hen to drake ratio during the 2022 to 2023 season? So in other words, which flyway harvested the greatest proportion of hens to drakes for wood ducks?
That's a...
is this the 1 out of 50?
Is this multiple choice?
It's flyways. I mean,
there's four of them, so...
Oh, I
want multiple choice.
Okay.
For the four...
Okay. All right.
A, Atlantic. Which flyway? B, Mississippi. C, Pacific.
Oh, this is a tough one. Okay, this is like shot in the dark, right?
You're right. It's a tough one because.
Like, how would you know this? I mean, Jordan lives in the Mississippi Flyway, so it's got to be that.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I've heard he's a head shooter. You live in it, too.
Oh, he is.
I've been called worse.
It is true, though.
No, we're going to go with. If I just change my mind to the wrong flyway, I'm going to be ticked.
Oh, I changed mine, too.
You guys are going back and forth.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
Everybody have answers.
Yep.
Go ahead and answers. Read them. Matt, you can start.
I said Atlantic for the fact that there's not a lot of other ducks there, so they got to take what they can get. So that's why I went Atlantic.
I also went Atlantic, and my reasoning was is that in the Mississippi Flyway, we just have so many that we can pick them out, and I know that there's just not many in the Pacific Flyway, but like, I don't know. Averages-wise, maybe that's a bad call, but I'm going Atlantic also.
Oh, man. I went Atlantic as well. Just seems like, right, you know, it just seemed like a place to kill hen wood ducks. I don't know.
Travel all the way to the Atlantic Flyway to shoot hen wood ducks?
I mean, yeah. I mean, they shoot just a lot of wood ducks. So, yeah, I went with Atlantic.
Well, the correct answer is the Mississippi Flyway.
Oh, gosh.
I changed mine from that. Proof.
Oh, did so,
brutal.
So, according to the 2023 U.S. Fish and Wildlife Migratory Bird Hunting Activity Report, the Mississippi Flyway shot 2.04 Drake wood ducks for each hen harvested. Then that's followed by the Atlantic Flyway at 2.14, then the Pacific Flyway at 2.23, and finally the Central Flyway at a whopping 3.69 drakes for every henwood duck.
Wow, that's an incredible amount more. Well,
right.
You know,
right.
It makes sense. They just have so much opportunity to pick out drakes, everything else. Yep.
Right. They're only shooting drakes and
better disciplined.
More opportunity.
Yeah, I was actually really surprised by that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised it's that big of a spread to the Central Flyway, to be honest.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that the Central Flyway gets all that many wood ducks. So no, I figured they'd just shoot them if they...
Yeah, there's not a ton. I mean, they don't, like, migrate through. They're just local that kind of nest around and then go south.
Hmm.
Right. The breeding line pretty much stops, like, on the east side of Nebraska and Kentucky, as far as, like, their permanent range and their nesting range, and then goes up north, because we did shoot some, Zach, if you remember, in North Dakota, but yep. They get out of there pretty quick, so we were there for in September. So
I just figured if they didn't have very many, they'd be shooting, you know, any that they
whatever saw. Whatever one comes in.
Yeah, exactly.
It's probably that they think it's a Drake mallard is really what's happening. They're like, oh, it's got a green head. Shoot it.
Anyways.
All right. So we're going on to question number 7. The scores as they stand: Jordan has 2, Hunter has 2, Matt has 2.
It is this tied
across
the board. I should only have 3. 1.
Yeah, I have 3.
Yep,
and I only have 1.
We need a new scorekeeper.
Are you
sure? Yeah, we're all positive.
Yeah,
this is your toughest line of questions so far, Zach.
Brutal.
You're bringing it to us today.
So Matt has 3 and Hunter has 1.
Yeah. The next question is going to be something like, okay, what is the upper part of Michigan called?
The only thing that the worst part is the only thing that Hunter knows is that dogs have web feet.
Brutal.
All right. Question number 7. Which state is home to the largest freshwater delta in the world? And your options are Tennessee, Louisiana, California, or Michigan.
Ooh. Freshwater delta.
Delta.
Freshwater delta. So it's freshwater to freshwater. So your options are Tennessee, Louisiana, California, and Michigan.
Does California even have water anymore?
Yeah, it's actually rained there this winter.
That's true. They go from like no rain to like mudslides.
Yeah, didn't they have a ton of flooding? just recently.
Right.
I thought I saw it, yeah.
It's from the government's cloud seeding, I think.
100%. That's what it's got to be, right? Well, they need to...
I saw it on Instagram, they need so it has to be true.
They need to cloud seed over here. We need some more water in Mississippi.
Yeah, we need some cloud seeding in the Prairie Pothole region. Yeah. How much conservation dollars does that take?
A lot.
Maybe my $50 when I win this will go towards it.
All right. Does everybody have answers?
Yes.
Go ahead and read them.
I'm going Michigan.
I went Tennessee.
I said California.
Wow. Okay.
All right. The correct answer is Michigan. You got it.
All right.
So the St. Clair Delta is the largest marshy area in the Northeast. Oh, the St. Clair Delta is the largest freshwater delta in the world, actually. So it's located on the northeast end of Lake St. Clair. It is the world's largest freshwater delta. It connects the St. Clair River to Lake St. Clair, and then that empties out into Lake Erie through the Detroit River. So most of the delta is public land since it was too marshy to be developed into farmland. However, there are some islands in the delta which people have built houses on and built some seawalls around it. The delta crosses an international border between the U.S. and Canada and is partially owned by each country. And it's split pretty much 50-50 between the two countries. Canada has a little bit more, but...
Sounds like some pretty good duck hunting.
Yeah, sounds like we need to spotlight it.
There's so many people that hunt it, doesn't even make a difference.
I could see that.
That's, anywhere in the Mississippi or Atlantic Flyway.
Right.
Unfortunately.
So... Not to give away too much, but I do hunt that area. And if you don't get to one of the boat launches by 5 a.m., you're not getting a spot. So
5 a.m., what's it like to sleep in?
Yeah. Right.
Okay, whatever. When do you got to get there? Like 1 a.m. to be midnight? The 6th or whatever? Midnight? Yeah. Well, I get there at 5 a.m., and that's too early for me. So I'd rather go hunt.
You're going to have a rough time on our trips this year. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. I do get up earlier than that, but if I have an option to go hunt some little pond in the middle of nowhere and I'm going to be the only guy to hunt it and I can get there at shooting light, that's what I'm doing. Mm. And it
sounds like Matt's spots.
Brutal.
No, I'm just guessing.
Anyways, I'm tied with you, Jordan.
They're all solo hunts. Mm. Yeah. Right, you got Michigan and Webb feet.
All right.
I don't even know what I got right. I got
wasn't
orange on feet, legs
red feet and Webb feet.
Yeah.
All right, question number 8. The HRC is the Hunting Retriever Club, which is an organization respected for testing retriever dogs and the families who hunt them. There are 5 HRC recognized titles for dogs. Name 3 of them.
Ooh.
Can I phone a friend?
Yeah.
Let me call Elliot.
Did you say 3? Name 3 of them?
Name 3 of the 5 HRC titles.
Man, I can't remember which one's HRC and which one's AKC. I know all of them for both, but I can't remember which ones are AKC and which ones are HRC.
Looks like Jordan has that same problem. He can't figure out which is which.
Yeah, it's
I'm 100%.
These questions are brutal this week.
I didn't think they're
really
too
easy
bad.
To know the answer when you're like just reading it online, and then picking deltas in your backyard.
Wait, I need to name 3, right?
Name 3 of the 5 HRC titles.
Sit and stay.
Matt, are you confident with this one?
Not at all.
No?
No.
Do you feel like you know any of them?
Nope.
I don't have no idea.
Do we just have to name the names of them, or what are we naming here?
Yeah, so there's 5 titles for HRC. You gotta give me the name for that title.
The name for that title. Okay.
Wait, how many of them? Yeah. Just 3 of them?
Just three of them.
Yeah, make it five.
All right.
No, not all right yet. I
still need it. All right yet.
No.
You know what's funny is that you know that Elliot's going to watch this and be like screaming at his computer that all of us are struggling so hard with this.
Right.
I'm not going to lie. He's the one that kind of gave me inspiration for this question.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should cater the questions to your guests.
Well,
you're leading by 1 point. I think we're catering enough.
In what year was Nebraska football's last championship?
Oh, I know that one.
In the year 93, name five starting players.
Done.
All right, you know what? Screw it. Let's run it.
Yeah.
No, I have three. I don't have three wrote down yet.
Figure it out.
I can't. You keep yapping your mouth.
You're the one. Yeah, okay.
You're right. I keep that. Yeah.
Just guess. Just throw a guess. All right, Jordan.
Man, I didn't think this one was that hard.
See, here's the thing. Is I
you
know
don't even
them.
Have a dog.
I know
and
them,
I know them.
But I don't remember which ones are AKC and which ones are HRC.
I figured, so I don't have a dog. I've never had a dog. So I figured the dog questions that I come up with would be like fairly straightforward because they're things like that I already feet. Kind of like know.
All right.
On what end does the tail go?
All right. Go. All right, Jordan, let's hear your answers here.
All right. I got Grand Champion, Master Hunter, and Started.
All right. Matt.
I got Grand Champion, Master, and Expert.
All right. And then I put Hunting Retriever Champion, National Hunting Retriever Champion, and Started.
All right. Say those again, Hunter.
Hunting Retriever Champion, National Hunting Retriever Champion, and Started.
All right. Hunter got that one. Wait. I'll give it to Hunter. So.
Wait. What was his different from mine?
There's a difference between...
Say, you said Master Hunter.
That's AKC.
Yeah.
Master Hunter.
So, okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Jack.
The correct answers are Started, Seasoned, which is also referred to as Hunter or Hunting, Finished, which is also referred to as Hunting Champion, Grand, and Upland. Those are your five. So Hunter got Hunting Champion, the Hunting, and Started. So, the HRC titles are not competitions and are earned on a pass-fail basis. A started level dog is tested on retrieving desire, the ability to mark a single falling bird, and such. It isn't uncommon for a dog to achieve this level by their first birthday. The title of seasoned can be reached by dogs who are trained consistently within 1 to 3 years. A dog usually earns the finished title after 2 to 3 years of consistent training. And the grand title is very difficult to earn, and only the highest trained dogs achieve this title.
Yeah, and then AKC is like started. I know it goes started, hunting retriever, master hunter, and senior master hunter, if I remember right.
I believe so, yeah. So. All right. gosh, these questions are tough, I guess. All right. Question number 9. When ducks migrate, they typically fly around 200 to 4,000 feet off the ground. The highest documented flight of a North American waterfowl species was 21,000 feet when it struck a jet. What species holds this record?
Oh my, 21,000 feet?
21,000 feet.
Oh my.
It's like 4 miles almost.
That's nuts.
Imagine what that pilot was thinking.
He's just at cruising altitude and hits a bird. Like, what species was it?
Can you narrow it down?
What do you mean?
No.
Matt already knows. I want to, you know, narrow it down between like ducks, puddlers, divers.
It was a coot.
It was a better chance of actually getting a point right.
It's a duck species. I'll give you that.
Okay, it's a duck species. That's
that
Oh, Matt crossed
his that crossed mine out too. So you just
yeah. Oh, it was a snow goose.
That's what I thought it was.
It was a duck
tornadoing
species.
And they just got out of control duck going species. The opposite way.
21,000 feet. Dude, that's
probably it.
Man. You
know, something like a ruddy. They fly really strong.
Okay, now how would they know if it got hit by a jet? Like, how would they know what it is? That's my question here.
They pick the speculum off the wing.
Yeah, after it gets sucked through the turbine.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's pieces of it left, you know, all about that plane.
Well, I mean, it had to get hit and then come down from 21,000 feet. You wouldn't think there'd be much left at that point. All right. I just need to make a guess here. That's a brutal one.
Right.
Man, I must have made these tough.
Yeah, this is tough. You know what?
Yeah, I mean, when it's like one out of 30 in.
Maybe you should narrow it between puddlers and divers. Or that give it away too much?
I mean, half?
Yeah.
Give it back. Right,
you know what? Yeah.
All right. I'll narrow it. It's a puddler.
They both had a... I literally haven't had to change mine yet.
Oh, it's a puddler. Okay. What would fly super high?
Matt, you're 0-2 so far.
Yeah.
Spoony. Spoonzilla.
Could you imagine just flying Spoonies along on a plane hit by a spoonie? Or like a coot or something?
Bet that boot bill would do quite a bit of damage.
Oh,
you know, you guys got one yet?
Yeah, I've got
it. I haven't had to change
my answer. I'm just going to, yeah, okay.
All right.
Jordan, since you're so confident.
Flip them. Green wing.
I went with a mallard. I just like guessed bog standard here.
I tried to go with whatever Matt was going to guess.
I said pintail.
Oh, that I was going to guess pintail. My series here, as we narrowed it down, was snow goose, and then it was canvasback, and then now.
See, I went snow goose, redhead, and then pintail.
That was close. We were on the...
I stuck with green wing the whole time. His narrowing didn't help me at all.
All right, let's hear it.
The correct answer is a mallard.
Yes!
Hunter's pulling ahead.
Coming so, from the back.
Oh, gosh.
The duck struck a jet, and it was later identified by whatever pieces were left of the bird once the jet landed. Some other notable high flyers include a bar-headed goose, which is from, I believe it's like the Middle East area. The highest flying known waterfowl species in the world, which consistently flies high at about 24,000 feet over the Himalayan mountains, is that bar-headed goose. Also in 1954, a pintail skeleton was found in the Himalayan mountain range at an altitude of 16,400 feet.
That's crazy.
Mm.
I'm just thinking about being at like cruising altitude in an airliner and hitting a bird and just being like, what was that?
I want to know what that mallard was thinking. I mean, I don't know. Like, was it?
Did it just pull back on the stick and just?
Yeah,
he flew over Kansas for a few days, and just, I gotta get up higher.
Bet they can't skybus me here.
The jet still followed him,
dude. That's
at that height, you would never even see them migrating.
Well.
No,
that had to be like an updraft that carried it up like that, right? Like some sort of crazy thunderhead carried it up, right?
It had to be.
So they hit this duck in the up at that altitude.
Yeah,
they didn't like carry it something, you know, like hit it on the way up or something, and then like, oh, there's a duck sticking out of her engine. Like,
no, they shredded this duck.
Okay,
yeah,
that's crazy.
This duck did not make it back in one piece.
That's crazy. I mean, like, again, that had to be some sort of crazy updraft, crazy storm type of a thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's surprising it could even breathe that high.
Right. Well, there's, like, hurricanes and stuff will push all sorts of weird species around on the continent. So, I imagine, yeah, it was probably some big storm front that it hit. And for some reason, it just kept going higher. But,
anyways, now that I'm one in the lead.
So, the current score... Jordan has 2. Hunter has 4. Matt has 3.
Going to the last question, right?
And we're on the final question.
Jordan, I'm holding this down for us.
Wait, who has Well, you have four. Is yeah. that right?
Hunter has four. Matt has three. So it's between them two at this point.
Lame.
You can still answer, though.
Oh, all thank right. you.
Question number 10. Which species produces the largest egg relative to their body size? And your answers are gadwall, bufflehead, canvasback, or ruddy duck. It is the largest egg relative to their body size.
I got a 50-50 on this one. We're just going to send it.
And this is based on weight, if that helps at all.
Well, based on weight. Okay.
Based on weight.
I'm going to stick with where I'm at here.
Yep.
Yep. What were the options again?
Gadwall, bufflehead, canvasback, or ruddy duck.
Could explain why they taste so bad.
What tastes so bad?
Which one?
Yeah.
He's like, I mean, there's a couple of them on this list that aren't the best, but.
Not talking about a butterball, I know that much.
Canvasback? Is a butterball?
Get out of here.
All right. Go or ahead like and read ball. The answers.
Matt?
I said bufflehead.
I went with a ruddy duck because they're goofy.
Oh.
Canvasback. Giant, huge eggs.
All right.
It's going to be a gut duck.
We have a winner. The correct answer is a ruddy duck. Hunter takes it.
Mm.
A clutch of ruddy duck eggs can weigh more than the hen that actually produced the eggs. Ruddy ducks often pursue a nesting strategy called nest partisanism, which is when hens will lay their eggs in the nests of other ruddy ducks. Other waterfowl species that share this nesting strategy include redheads, canvasbacks, and wood ducks. In one study done in Manitoba, it was found that more than 90% of canvasback nests contained redhead eggs. So, just a couple tidbits on
nests. Well, you just said that canvasback nests contain redhead eggs?
Yes.
Huh.
Redheads will lay their eggs in canvasback nests.
And then what? The canvasback sits on them? And then, like, when they hatch, they just get raised by a canvasback?
Yep.
I didn't realize redheads had such broken home lives.
I thought it was pretty impressive. Well,
I'm pretty sure they lay their own eggs too. That's just another way to like reproduce but not have to use like, your own resources.
It's kind of smart to like I'm just gonna go lay a couple over in their house and then like go do my own thing over here again in a month, because I mean like they can have their broods pretty close together, right? Because that would be considered a failed brood. So like I mean how close can they lay their eggs? I don't know. Anyways,
I don't think they lay them all at once. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're saying that they're just like walking around. They're just like, nope, there's one in that canvasback nest.
Sit down,
there's one in that canvasback nest.
Right. Huh.
Poor canvasbacks.
I thought it was impressive. A hen ruddy duck can lay more eggs than she actually weighs.
Yeah, that's nuts.
That is crazy.
I just had an idea.
Well, I have to apologize, Matt. You know, these questions just weren't fair tonight. So I do. I apologize for... our MC's belligerence.
Not fair.
Hey, the winning score was 5.
Yeah. Not fair. One of the questions was literally, which central flyway states can you hunt this bird in?
There was Pacific I'm not over saying there.
It's a joke. Okay. Don't get too upset.
Anyways. And I went.
Anyways.
I went 4 for 4 on the last 4. So come back, kid.
Here,
right.
I got one for you.
I want to see your phone search history. Right.
Okay. So what is a nickname for the canvasback? Another nickname for the canvasback.
Another that nickname.
Back other than to market hunting days.
Play the intense music, Zach.
I mean, obviously the king doesn't really go back to the market hunting days. What would be a nickname that I've heard? All right. I'm thinking about the other nicknames to narrow it down, because I know that jacks are ringnecks. That's what everybody around here calls ringnecks. What would be back in the... Dude, I don't know. Going back to the market days, I'm thinking about the old menus and stuff that I've seen and the old buy posters that I've seen. And I can't remember what they call them other than canvasbacks. All right,
dollar duck.
Dollar duck.
Dollar duck. That's how much they sold for.
Dude, that would have been a lot of money in 1911, 1919 when they were doing that stuff. You guys ever call them ringnecks jacks?
I've heard them called black jacks, and was it down south they call them dough grit, I think. Is that
Dogri.
Or is that Scop? I don't know. That's all Cajun stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So.
All right.
$50.
Hunter, you get to pick where the donation goes.
All right. Yeah. Hunter, where are you sitting in the donation? You got this already decided?
Yeah, we'll go to Delta.
Man, no one's showing DU any love. It's been Delta three times in a row. But
great. Now you showed it. Now Alrighty. You pointed it out.
Yep.
Yep.
I mean, somebody would have pointed it out eventually. So I'm just going to have to win to send some to DU.
I'm just glad that the Mississippi Flyway got to once again beat up on the Central Flyway.
I mean, it is the best duck hunting location. Everyone should go there.
I saw three guys in the Mississippi Flyway laugh.
The least pressure, the most mallards you can chew, the most number of days you can, right?
You've got the king of the timber and apparently the highest hen to drake killing ratio on them. So
it's because we just kill so many.
Well, I haven't been making that number any better. All righty. Well, that's all we got for today. Thanks again, Matt, for coming along. Again, I do apologize for those crappy questions, but you know, I just have to live with it, I guess. And thanks for our two hometown players as well, and the MC, I guess. But that's all we got for today, guys. I'm Jordan from Duckin' Chronicles, Hunter, the co-host of the Duckin' Podcast, Zach, young Padawan, and Matt from High Prairie Sportsman. Oh, if you want to check out Matt's content, you can find him over there, High Prairie Sportsman, on YouTube and Instagram. Anywhere else you want to send him, Matt?
No, that's about it.
Okay, that's the best place to find him. All right, we'll see you guys on the next one.